Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. This episode is sponsored by Pepperidge Farms and their goldfish.
Now, if you open with that, now you're going to have to play the comment, aren't you?
No. We were just talking about goldfish beforehand. We love fishes because they're so delicious, right? That's one of their slogans, right?
Is it? I don't know. I apparently need to learn more about goldfish the cracker.
Yeah.
I'm oblivious.
I was talking goldfish the cracker. She was talking goldfish, the little swimmy things that end up getting flushed down the toilet.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. I got very confused.
Yeah. But you're Julia Mon, and I'm Father Sean Wilson, and we are casting this pod on the Darting Through the Faith podcast.
That's right.
That's how we got to the fish.
So we got something about fish.
Casting.
Yeah. I think the conversation went, Father Sean, do you like to fish? Not really.
But I eat goldfish.
But I like to
grab goldfish out of the bag. Yeah.
To which I thought you meant goldfish swimming in water out of the bag.
Fair enough.
And
you
did not mean that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not.
Right.
I did not. But it's Holy Week. It's Holy Week.
God.
So no eating goldfish of any kind right now.
Right.
We are fasting.
Fast from the goldfish. Okay.
Although, do you think anybody on Good Friday, this will come out on Good Friday, who it's like they have planned for their Good Friday large meal goldfish?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Maybe fish of some sort. Probably very likely.
Mm-hmm. But not the gold.
Wait now, are you talking about the actual fish or the cracker again?
I don't know.
I'm so confused.
That was part of the point of it.
Okay, good. Well done then. I am very excited. It's Holy Week.
Yeah.
What a beautiful week.
Mm-hmm.
Best week of the year.
It is. It really is. Doesn't get any better than this. Think about this time next week. It'll be Easter season.
So good. I just want to sit with how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
What is a praiseworthy practice, or what is something besides entering into like the fullness of the liturgy with the Triduum? Do you have any suggestions for people listening of how to like fully receive all the Lord wants to give during the Holy Week?
You pray and you fast is kind of the basics. Reading the passion narratives in the Gospels, always a really good thing. Because there's gold in them, their Gospels. So you can always discover more, even if it's like, I've read this 1,000 times. So I'd highly recommend reading those in the Gospel. Going to Thursday, Friday, and the Easter Vigil. Those are the normal things. Shut off noise, right? Like, I remember vividly on like Good Friday in our house, I was a young boy, but it was like no talking from noon to three, no matter what. It was like, you guys can like go read somewhere. You can, you know, if you're a real young tyke, you can play with toys, but we're not turning on any TVs. We're not doing anything like that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep our talking to a minimum. That stick with me.
Awesome.
Wow, yeah.
That's great.
We did that as, young
yes.
children.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was good.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
So.
Good.
Be quiet.
Be quiet.
Throw your phone in a dumpster.
That'd be great too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How is Lent going with your Lenten practices?
It's all right.
Yeah.
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 I have realized again my need for our Lord.
Good.
Because I am not Superman, can do all this stuff. I'm going to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And then it was also surprising because the Lord's like, oh, you think this is what you're going to do for Lent? I've got some other things for you. Like, but I want to do what I want to do. So we went through that conversation again.
Sure. That's good.
Yeah. I feel like I should just start Lent with, all right, Lord, well, what are we going to do this year? I'm going to wait to find out because I'm sure you got an idea.
There's an idea.
Yeah.
I had things that were on my disciplines that I thought this is going to be really, really hard that were really much easier than I thought. And other things that I thought this will be really easy, but it'll be a good discipline, a good practice, 100% failed at more times than not. Like, why was that so hard? That shouldn't have been so hard. But anyway, sheds light on some things and reminds us of our need for Jesus, and that's all good. So
it is good.
Yeah.
That humble pie, you know, that's the only sweets I'm eating during Lent. Humble pie.
Good. Good stuff. Yeah. Anyway, it's Holy Week and that's a good thing. I don't know what that was with your fingers.
Give me some of that humble pie.
Oh, humble pie. Okay. Good. Good. That's good.
Yeah. That's weird. I could have realized on the other end, that'd be weird. All right, we should pray.
Let's do that.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks for this great gift of salvation, for the redemption that you won for us upon the cross. As it may be with all of those listening to this podcast, that they may experience the silence of the tomb and the power of your resurrection. Trust this time into Mary's hands and ask for the intercession of St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. Last week, we landed where? 624 to 635. Jesus is buried and descends to hell. We thought this would be very fitting. This episode will be released on Good Friday. It's so fitting. 624 to 635. So where are we at here in the catechism?
Well, we're in the creed part, which is that first part. And you know, in the creed, we basically go through the creed. So we're on the part about Jesus dying and descending into hell. So he's placed in the tomb. That's the first part, 624 to 628. Second part, the descent into hell.
This section was so good. Particularly liked that section, the second section, the descending into hell part. But anyway, we begin in 624. Jesus Christ was buried. By the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for everyone. In his plan of salvation, God ordained that his Son should not only die for our sins, but should also taste death, experience the condition of death, the separation of his soul from his body between the time he expired on the cross and the time he was raised from the dead. The state of the dead Christ is the mystery of the tomb and the descent into hell. It is the mystery of Holy Saturday, when Christ, lying in the tomb, reveals God's great Sabbath rest after the fulfillment of man's salvation, which brings peace to the whole universe.
Great. So that basically sets up the fact that, okay, Jesus really did die. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he just went into like a coma, like a 3-day coma. It's not like he was just acting death, but he really died. And it describes it as the soul separating from the body. And that's how we Christians define death, because it's not that the person no longer exists when we die, but the soul, which is the animating principle of the body, is no longer present. So the body no longer has any life because there's nothing there to give it life, the soul. So so Jesus really experienced that. And then it kind of gives us the little tease for the descent into hell and the Sabbath rest of the Lord on Saturday.
Christ's stay in the tomb constitutes the real link between his passible state before Easter and his glorious and risen state today. The same person of the living one can say, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. This is 625 in a section that's subtitled Christ in the tomb in his body.
Right. So it's not that like as soon as Jesus died, his body all of a sudden ended up somewhere else, right? So this is really his dead body in the tomb is what this is just trying to say. So it's the link between Good Friday and Easter is the fact that Christ goes into the tomb. So nothing make believe. It's basically, and I think for most of us, this is just like obvious. Well, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. He was died. They put him in a grave just like they do everybody else. And then he left the grave. But this is just saying, yeah, that's the fact.
Since the author of life who was killed is the same living one who has risen, the divine person of the Son of God necessarily continued to possess his human soul and body, separated from each other by death. That's 626.
So he still has his human soul and his human body. So it doesn't mean like, okay, Jesus dies, his human soul dies, and then when he rises from the dead, his divine soul is the animating principle of the body. He's like, no, even in the resurrection, Jesus is still true God and true man. Even though in his humanity he dies, his whole person died, two natures there. But it's not just that just his humanity died, right? God died is what we say on in the person of Jesus. So real death, all of Jesus died. But he still has his human soul. Just like when we die, we still have our human soul, right? Our human soul's just not with our body. Okay. Until the resurrection of the dead, but that's a whole different story for a different section of the catechism.
627 is the next paragraph with one subheading. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. Christ's death was a real death in that it put an end to his earthly human existence. But because of the union which the person of the Son retained with his body, his was not a mortal corpse like others, for it was not possible for death to hold him. And therefore, divine power preserved Christ's body from corruption.
So it's like the incorrupt, right? So the people who do not decay over all the time because of, well, by God's grace, that their body doesn't corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing happened with Christ. It's just instead of his body being incorrupt for 700 years after his death, it was 3 days. Mm-hmm. So his body does not decay because, well, he's going to need that thing.
Mm-hmm. He's coming back.
He's coming back for it.
Mm-hmm. Both these statements can be said of Christ. He was cut off out of the land of the living, and my flesh will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One see corruption. Jesus' resurrection on the third day was the sign of this, also because bodily decay was held to begin on the fourth day after death. Okay? All right. And then we go into a paragraph, buried with Christ. Baptism, the original and full sign of which is immersion, efficaciously signifies the descent into the tomb by the Christian who dies to sin with Christ in order to live a new life. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
Okay, so that's just not something we watch from afar, right? Mm-hmm. Christ entering in the tomb, Christ really dying. But the baptism and the immersion in baptism signifies us entering in to the tomb with Christ. So us really spiritually dying. So us dying to our sin, dying to the old self. And so then when we come out of the water, we're risen to the new person. Mm-hmm. And that's what St. Paul, that basically just half of that, which you just read, is a quote from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. So in baptism, we're really joined to that in Christ. We're joined to his burial. We're joined to the fact that he goes into the tomb. So so this is not just Jesus' story. It's ours as well.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that ends this section. And then there's two in brief paragraphs, 629 and 630. And then we pick up in Article 5. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. This begins with paragraph 631, which reads, Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is he who also ascended far above all the heavens. The Apostles' Creed confesses in the same article Christ's descent into hell and his resurrection from the dead on the third day, because in his Passover, it was precisely out of the depths of death that he made life spring forth. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So that's straight out of the creed. This is basically one section on the creed. I'm just looking to get the exact words from the creed there. Oh, it's from the Apostles' Creed, right? He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, rose again. So this basically, what does it mean? He descended into hell, which is honestly, on the same page I was looking at. I don't know why I went flipping through other pages, but it was right there in front of me.
That was fun.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
So this sets the stage for where we're going in this whole Article 5. But today we're just doing paragraph 1, Christ descended into hell, which is actually paragraph 632 to 635. It's not confusing at all. But anyway,
yeah.
In Article 5, it's divided up into different smaller paragraphs, and this is what we're covering today. Christ descended into hell. 632. The frequent New Testament affirmations that Jesus was raised from the dead presuppose that the crucified one sojourned in the realm of the dead prior to his resurrection. This was the first meaning given in the apostolic preaching to Christ's descent into hell, that Jesus, like all men, experienced death, and in his soul joined the others in the realm of the dead. But he descended there as Savior, proclaiming the good news to the spirits imprisoned there.
So part of Christ descending into hell, as it says, is he descends into the realm of the dead. Mm-hmm. And as that paragraph says, it's basically the belief that he actually died, because that's part of all death before Jesus comes back from and opens the gates of heaven. Is this just a realm of the dead? So where do the dead go who are awaiting the salvation that Jesus offers? And so Jesus's true death means that he goes to join them. Mm-hmm. And then that last paragraph acknowledges from 1 Peter, right? Mm-hmm. So 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about Christ going to proclaim the going to preach to the dead, mm-hmm. which, I mean, what a wild thing for St. Peter to say. But that's where we get a lot of our understanding of, okay, what does it mean that Christ descended into hell? It's from 1 Peter chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, it also talks about baptism in there. Mm-hmm. But he goes, not just like one of the dead, just like showing up and saying, hey guys, what's it like being dead down here? You know, like, but actually he goes to proclaim the good mm-hmm. news. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we keep getting this unfolded in these paragraphs. It's so beautiful. Scripture calls the abode of the dead to which the dead Christ went down hell, Sheol in Hebrew, or Hades in Greek, because those who are there are deprived of the vision of God. So maybe we should talk about that. This continues, doesn't it? Such is the case for all the dead, whether evil or righteous, while they await the Redeemer, which does not mean that their lot is identical, as Jesus shows through the parable of the poor man, Lazarus, who was received into Abraham's bosom. It is precisely these holy souls who awaited their Savior in Abraham's bosom, whom Christ the Lord delivered when he descended into hell. Jesus did not descend into hell to deliver the damned, nor to destroy the hell of damnation, but to free the just who had gone before him.
So that paragraph is packed.
Yep.
But it's basically pulling together a lot of different strands in the New Testament. So Jesus's parable about the poor man Lazarus, mm-hmm. who goes to Abraham's bosom, as it says, mm-hmm. that he goes to Abraham's dwelling, right, to rest with Abraham, is so what happens to all of those who are just before Christ dies? Mm-hmm. And basically they go to the place of Hades, to hell, and await Christ. Mm-hmm. But it's not all the same place, because there are some that are condemned, right? Mm-hmm. Some that will be there forever. Mm-hmm. And so Christ doesn't go to destroy hell, mm-hmm. but he goes to rescue. He goes mm-hmm. to free. He goes to offer redemption to all those who are waiting, mm-hmm. whether it's the guy from the story or whether it's Abraham or whether it's Elijah or whether it's Moses or whoever mm-hmm. the just are. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's referred to as hell, as it's mentioned, because those who died this just death mm-hmm. are still deprived of right. this vision of God
right.
because Christ has not come
yeah.
right and conquered death and victorious for us. And so it's waiting. And so it's referred to as this hell, but not this damnation of hell is what
permanent.
What we think of it. So, yeah. So Jesus goes to this realm of the dead, descends into hell to, those who are not fully in the vision of God yet to rescue them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? It's like waiting in the dentist's office waiting room for centuries, mm-hmm. waiting for Christ to come mm-hmm. and clean your teeth, but that's not,
right.
you know, but you think about yeah. like the dentist's office waiting room. Let me see if I can save this analogy.
Sure. Yeah. Do your best.
Is devoid of really a whole lot of joy. Right.
Sure.
It's, there's people there, but it's devoid of like, of light. It's devoid of meaning. It's just simply waiting. Mm-hmm. So that's the same with these people who are waiting, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's Adam, Eve, whoever it may be, mm-hmm. Ruth, that they're awaiting mm-hmm. God, but they don't see him yet. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's still the pain of sitting mm-hmm. there and waiting, mm-hmm. but there is not the eternal pain of knowing this is forever. Mm-hmm. Right. Like the doctor's waiting room, you know, this will eventually pass. Mm-hmm. Right. I'll eventually get to go mm-hmm. and get my teeth cleaned, which isn't any better as I'm saying it, but although I don't mind the dentist's office, and that's a different right. story for a different day.
Right.
But so they're in a waiting room. Let's mm-hmm. just call it that way.
Oh, so, and again, Jesus did not descend into hell to deliver the damned, nor to destroy the hell of damnation, but to free the just who had gone before him. This is so important. Okay. Then we continue in 6:34. The gospel was preached even to the dead. The descent into hell brings the gospel message of salvation to complete fulfillment. This is the last phase of Jesus's messianic mission, a phase which is condensed in time, but vast in its real significance. The spread of Christ's redemptive work to all men of all times and all places, for all who are saved have been made sharers in the redemption.
Well, that's good news.
Oh,
yeah. And it shows the power of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not just those who come after him that he'll save, but mm-hmm. time and space actually don't affect the power of God, mm-hmm. right? Christ can go, and it's the last phase it mentions of his messianic mission. It's like, okay, he's died, but now he's got to go basically in not time travel, but going to those who are waiting mm-hmm. to offer them this great gift of salvation. Mm-hmm. But it shows the power, right? Mm-hmm. All places, all time, all people.
Mm-hmm. His descent brings the gospel message of salvation to complete fulfillment. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so powerful.
And it gives us a little window into purgatory because it means that Christ can save after we die, mm-hmm. right? He doesn't force anything, but just like for all these people who are waiting, after they died, they were still able to be saved. Mm-hmm. Their lives could still change. Mm-hmm. And for us, that means at the moment of death, Christ can still mm-hmm. save us. So it's not the, okay, you die, boom, heaven, hell, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord can still save us and give you know, after we die. Mm-hmm. So that's real good news. He's so powerful.
So powerful, so good, so merciful. Mm. So this ends with 6:35. Christ went down into the depths of death so that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Jesus, the author of life, by dying, destroyed him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Henceforth, the risen Christ holds the keys of death and Hades so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That whole paragraph was scripture.
Right.
Right? Pulling different parts of, mm-hmm. of scripture. But
so he's the Lord of death, mm-hmm. right? Because he really experiences death and conquers it. He is the Lord of death. He holds the power, the keys. He's the author of life. So we think, you know, death is the thing that happens to all of us. Mm-hmm. It's the only experience that every single human being will always have, mm-hmm. right? But Jesus is victorious over it. It's mm-hmm. also the thing that many people fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And go back to where we talked about that Jesus is buried, that he dies, that he actually tasted this himself, mm-hmm. right? That he tasted death, that right. that separation of soul from the body to redeem it for us,
yeah.
right? Right.
There's not a paragraph on this, but it was mentioned in the very first paragraph that we discussed about the Sabbath rest. Mm. So typically this descent of Christ into hell is what the church reflects on Holy Saturday. So Good Friday, you have kind of the drama of his death and then placed in the tomb. Easter Sunday, the glory of the resurrection. But Saturday is the kind of the stillness mm-hmm. of the Sabbath rest because Saturday was the Jewish Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. And so literally God rests to the point that Jesus dies. Mm-hmm. And so it's that Saturday, the Holy Saturday, is often a time that we reflect on this, mm-hmm. that the earth is still, mm-hmm. but the Lord is still victorious. Mm-hmm. And he's completing his salvific journey to the underworld.
This paragraph 6:35 does end with a portion of an ancient homily for Holy Saturday, which I know is in the Office of Readings, the second reading mm-hmm. on Holy Saturday. One of your favorites.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite. Everybody's favorite.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to read it to us?
I'd love to. So nobody really knows who wrote this. That's mm-hmm. That's one of the awesome things about it. Mm-hmm. But the church has always kept it as a precious, reflection on Holy Saturday. Today, a great silence reigns on earth, a great silence and a great stillness, a great silence because the King is asleep. The earth trembled and is still because God has fallen asleep in the flesh, and he has raised up all who have slept ever since the world began. He has gone to search for Adam, our first father, as for a lost sheep, greatly desiring to visit those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death. He has gone to free from sorrow Adam in his bonds and Eve captive with him. He who is both their God and the son of Eve. I am your God who for your sake has become your son. I order you, O sleeper, to awake. I did not create you to be a prisoner in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead. Mm-hmm. It's just something to meditate on, mm-hmm. that Jesus going in search of Adam,
mm-hmm.
who he's the son of Adam. Right, mm-hmm. because he's human, truly human, but he goes out to search and to save, to rescue.
A great silence because the King is asleep. Mm-hmm. That's so good. Okay, I did not create you to be a prisoner in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead.
Let's get out of here.
Praise God. Praise, yeah. Praise be Jesus Christ. See that? That was a great one for a Good Friday release.
It is, yeah. If you're reading this on Friday or Saturday and you want to read that the whole homily, you can really just Google Ancient Homily Holy Saturday. It'll come up. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere on the interweb.
Nice. Good. Good. So next week, you know, with it being Easter Monday and a little bit schedule changes, we are going to record two episodes in a row. Oh, right, because we have Easter Monday and then we have Eclipse Day, something or other. So anyway, we're going to throw the door twice.
We are. Yeah. But they'll just come out one week at a time.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
If it looks like we're time traveling because we're wearing the same clothes.
Right.
Well, you might always think that.
You might always think that, right? Oh, wow.
Baptism. We're going to talk about baptism.
First try.
Name and in the economy. We'll do a little economics of baptism.
What's the paragraph numbers on that one?
1210 to 1228.
Okay.
Oh, I got another one. Wow. The love of husband and wife, 2360 to 2379.
Nice. All right.
You know, that seems like way too many paragraphs to talk about the love of husband and wives, right?
2360, 2379. Yeah, you really just need one for that.
Yeah.
That's a bad joke.
Just hold up a cross.
Truth. Yes. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about 1 Peter chapter 3. You mentioned that, and that was listed in the section here. We'll close here with 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered for sins once the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. In it he also went to preach to the spirits in prison, who had once been disobedient while God patiently waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, eight in all, were saved through water. This prefigured baptism, which saves you now. It is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him.